Right, team, we're going to conduct a few push-ups now. Remember, calling the time. Kangaroo push-up position. Ready? Straight line from your heels up to your shoulders. Treat this like you would a BFA. Off your knees. Treat this like you would a BFA. Proper push-ups. Calling the time. Lower, raise.
One.
Nice and loud. No sergeant, just one or two. Lower, raise.
Two.
Good. Lower, raise.
Three.
Lower, raise.
Four.
Lower, raise.
Five.
Lower, raise.
Six.
Lower, raise.
Seven.
Lower, raise.
Eight.
Lower, raise.
Nine.
This is the Army, Mr. Jones. No private rooms or telephones. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it.
Hold it there, push up position, hold it. Treat it like you would a BFA or your fitness test. Hold, hold, hold. Nice and loud now. Low raise.
Ten.
Good, on your feet. Up.
This is Hampstead Barracks in Adelaide, and I've come here to find out more about a unique training program for young Australians from Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander backgrounds. It's called the Indigenous Pre-Recruitment Course, and the idea is to help these young men and women to prepare for a career in the Australian Defence Force. Now, I've got three of the students who are about to graduate from the course with me right now. First of all, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Kirsten Taylor Hansen from Badu and Boigu Islands, very proud Torres Strait Islander.
My name is Sean Harvey. I'm originally from Darwin. I'm a proud Yanyuwa man of the Gulf and descendant of the Yarri people in northern WA.
Yes, I am Tibius Satrick, and I am from Cairns, born and raised in Cairns. Also, my background is Torres Strait Islander. I am a proud Torres Strait Islander, and I also got my heritage goes all the way back from Yam Island, which is the English name is Ayama.
Tell us first about the kinds of things you've been doing on this course, because it started 6 weeks ago. What happened first up, Kirsten?
We were greeted with sergeants and corporals yelling at us when we first arrived on the bus, and we were all scared and shaking, and we all headed up into the accommodation blocks, and from there we just learned how to make our beds. We did a lot of drill, a lot of discipline kind of stuff. Fitness is one thing, and just learning the basic army, military culture.
You talk about discipline. What do you mean by that, and how did they teach you discipline?
To me, it's like a sense of urgency and doing things when you're told to do them. With me, I just realised that everyone around me, the corporals and all the staff, were here to help me and not to take anything personally. And I've grown from that and become a better version of myself since I've been on the course.
And what about you, Sean? What do you remember about those early days when you first arrived?
Oh, it was hard, ma'am. It was hard. Getting up really early, 6 o'clock in the morning, hallway kangaroo was the first thing we heard. And then a lot of just yelling, making sure everyone just did all their morning routine as fast as they can. And the structure of the day, we got to get used to that. A lot of PT in the morning, and they just pushed us as hard as they could, all the mentors. Yeah.
And how different was that then to your normal way of life before you came on this course?
Oh, before I came on this course, I didn't get up 6 o'clock in the morning for 6 weeks, not at all. And it was just being away from home, not seeing family, not having my phone. It's just difficult, but it's manageable. It's very manageable.
For you, Tibius, what was the challenge then when you first arrived? With those early days, was it what you expected?
No, not at all. Personally, myself, I started real slow, not expecting that it was going to be so hard. But being part of the oldest in the group is sort of like challenged myself to try and become a leader. So once again, I had to put myself together and encourage everybody else in the group to show, that if I can do it, then you guys can do it as well. So especially discipline, like Kirsten said, and, like Sean said as well, it's a challenge for everyone. And to come into the military life, sort of like showed everyone that by the time you finish up this course, you get to show that you have respect for yourself and respect for everyone, especially when you get out of military life. And you know for a fact, when you do get to certain people, you'd be calling them ma'am, sirs. So you got that discipline there by learning this sort of things on the 6 weeks course. So, and being involved as being a leader and the oldest in the group, it's sort of like mentor, like being a mentor and being a leadership and a role model for the whole lot of them. So.
You mentioned that you're a bit older than the others because you're 29, aren't you, Tibius?
That's correct.
Before you came on this course, what was your understanding of leadership? And what was your understanding of perhaps the responsibilities that go with that?
I believe it's something as culture, because there's been many young Indigenous in our group. And there were certain people that didn't know their culture, especially. So especially they had to learn the word discipline. So Indigenous wise, there were things that, you know, elders had to teach us a lot of discipline back in the old days. And culture has been lost back in history. I mean, till today, culture has been lost. So not like back in history, you know, culture has always very been strong in remote areas and especially the Torres Strait. So it's now that I've felt that passing my knowledge down to the younger generation feels like, you know, they actually know the word discipline. So if they can take back this, something they have learned in this 6 weeks course, is something that will benefit themselves and their families. So especially when they have their own families and that in years to come.
So for you, the leadership component was about passing on your culture to younger people on the course. That was all part of the training you've done here.
That's pretty much correct, because back in my days, I had to learn what discipline is all about as well. But also, by being in this part of this course, I had to learn discipline a lot more. So I felt that passing that little bit of knowledge that way sort of like benefit them as well.
And for you, Kirsten, take us through perhaps the transformation that kind of exposure to discipline, to leadership, to teamwork. What did that mean for you coming here?
They all didn't mean that much to me. When I first came, I was very shy. I didn't have any leadership. I liked being in a team and I liked, I like to stay in the middle. I'm not someone that stands out. The different activities we do, you have to step up, and it pushes you and it makes you, it has made me confident, and that's helped me with my interviews and even talking to people that are in the military. And yeah, it's changed me a lot.
Take us through, Sean, perhaps some of those activities we've just heard about there. What is it, do you think, on this course that brings about that transformation, that actually teaches you leadership and teamwork?
I think the getting people out of their comfort zones, I think that really brings us together as a group, and it brings things out of us like leadership and responsibility and discipline and respect when we're all getting out of our comfort zone. That's when it all comes out. And I think the most challenging thing for us on the course was going to the bush phase. The bush phase was probably the hardest. But same again, the bush phase was when we gelled the most. We became more of a family, and it was just good doing the bush phase all together, because we all went through it together and we all struggled together, but we all pushed through together.
Tell me, Sean, in a bit more detail, what did you do on that bush phase? I mean, it sounds like it was a key culminating activity. So what did they make you do?
It was a lot of pack marching, a lot of living off rations, 24-hour rations. It was a lot of team building skills, a lot of working as a team, being in a leadership role as well, fine-tuning those kind of skills. It was also staying up late and fighting through the fatigue, staying up all night even, and just giving it all when you know you're going to drop and just keep going, and you know to keep going because the person next to you is going, and you're just helping each other,
I've noticed you nodding vigorously here, Tibius. So obviously the bush phase was a highlight for you.
Oh, definitely. It has been a highlight. I mean, what can I say? it was a motivation for everyone, especially like, once again, myself as well. But knowing that like I'm 29, it's sort of like these young fellas here, they also motivated me. So I feel very, very, very privileged, you know, for these guys to actually motivate myself. So, but once again, you know, I've actually motivated them as well through tough times. So there were times, you know, people were actually feeling down and out and they were sick and they were whatnot. But at the end of the day, us older people, we just had to pick them up and carry them on our shoulders, and we all carried each other's workloads, like share each other workloads by carrying their bags and backpacks and whatnot, and say, hey, come on, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. So at the end of the day, we all sort of like, yeah, like Sean said, the bush race sort of brought us all together as one family, so, which is really good.
Thinking back then on the course now, you're all graduating. For you, Kirsten, perhaps what's been the biggest challenge? What's been the toughest moment for you?
The bush phase. I definitely don't go camping a lot, ever. Walking in the dark is not my thing, especially for Indigenous women, and we're all very spiritual, and that was the toughest for me. I just didn't want to do it, but getting through it and having like everyone else do it, and you have the same thing, step up, and the encouragement from everyone was great. And yeah, to me that was the hardest thing, but after doing it I feel so much better, and it feels like you can tackle anything, so I'm happy.
And for you, Sean, perhaps what's been your most challenging moment?
I'm going to say the bush phase again. Just the fatigue. I think that was the best thing, yeah, because we all bonded greatly. And I think that after doing that together, we just stuck together. Everything's been a challenge. Everything's been a challenge. Routine, discipline, knowing the meaning of discipline and respect, and just doing, yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun as well.
And for you, Tibius, you exude maturity here, being the ripe old age of 29, but there must have been moments that you found difficult.
Yeah, once again, I think from the start, I think it was just a whole big challenge, even just coming through that gate of Hampstead. It was just, okay, what's this going to be all about? Entering the army barriers is going to be easy, it's going to be hard. But the minute we pulled up in the Hampstead barracks, we all sort of got yelled at and was, oh, no, okay, all right, here we go, get off the bus, guys. So probably the motivation was the biggest one that I had to challenge through, is trying to be able to adapt myself or being quick and get up and do things and get things done on time, especially what type of tasks I got given. So if it wasn't for motivation, then I would have to say as well, PVA, is it PVA testing? Push-ups, sit-ups, and beep tests. So that's also the most challenging part that I had to face. And eventually I ended up getting the highest beep test, so which is pretty good. But without these young followers here, you know, I couldn't get it like to the certain number that where I wanted to. So once again, they encouraged me to kept me going and motivated me as well.
Now, you've all been for your interviews with Defence Force Recruiting this week, and my understanding is there's almost been a 100% success record in this particular cohort, with people getting further opportunities with defence, or indeed even getting the offer of a job. Tell us a bit more about where you see yourself going next. We'll start with you, Kirsten.
I want to be a boatswain's mate. I've been recommended for that and support operations. I see myself in the Navy. I love the water, and I think Torres Strait Islanders especially love the water. And I see myself in the defence for a long time. I don't want to leave.
And how did this course set you up for success, do you think? When you went to your interview, what was it about this course that had enabled you to perform at your best?
Confidence and just knowing military life, a bit of a taste of it. We knew the routine, we knew how this course is just below, it's probably another step going to Cerberus or any of those training establishments, but it just has got me ready. I don't know, just confidence. I'm driven now, like a lot more driven because of the staff and everyone's support as well.
And Sean, what's on the cards for you now?
Well, I've just been recommended to do a few Navy jobs, but the one that I want to go for is Marine Technician in the Navy, and I'm really excited about it.
And how do you think this course set you up for that?
It definitely gives you the confidence and the motivation and just knowing if you want to do this or not and do it 100%. And I know that I want to do it 100%. I want to get stuck in and just get on with my amazing career that's coming up. So, yeah.
We've got two people here going down the Navy route, but Tibius, I hear you're set on Army.
Yeah, that's true. As much as I really love the ocean, and I did have the heart to stick with the Navy, unfortunately I've had a brief discussion with Warrant Officer Paulson, and he changed my heart of doing a big U-turn and head towards the Army, which I had a TV yesterday with the DFR and got recommended to do the ARDP and do 15 weeks course, and then straight after that, straight onto Marine Specialist. So, and without this course, being on this course for 6 weeks, if it wasn't for Uncle Cole and the rest of the staff members, you know, to be able to help me get through this and to be able to learn me so much stuff on this course, and then I wouldn't be in this situation right now. So
you're going on the Army Indigenous Development Program. What does that involve?
it's going to be like for 15 weeks course, so it's pretty much like educational stuff, maths literacy, numeracy and all that. It's practically like what we do here in IPRC. So you do your educational stuff between Monday to Friday, and on weekends you do your bush spray. So it's going to be a full on, but it's going to be just a higher another level than IPRC.
And then you're hoping to join the army and get involved in amphibious operations.
So that's pretty much correct. We'll be working on barges and getting to learn how to drive, especially at Pakopanyo. I'll spend my 31 days there learning how to drive the medium rigid truck, which is the Unimog, and then also the G-Wagon, which is the Land Rover. So I'll be spending more time there driving hopefully like a couple of those trucks, and then getting my qualifications up to speed as well, and then head straight towards Townsville, hopefully get posted at Ross Island and be able to learn how to drive the amphibious, which is the Lark 5, which is the 5-tonner, and also the bigger version of the craft as well, so which is the LCM-8, the big barge.
Despite your deep connection to the ocean, it is Army for you.
Yeah, there's no turning back for that. So I'll definitely stick my heart with the Army and then see where I'll end up after 4 years. And if I go to the Navy, then yeah, so be it. But yeah, there's no turning back.
Tibius, Sean and Kirsten, thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
We're now joined by Sergeant Pavel Machalek, who's one of the instructors here on the Indigenous pre-recruitment course. And in fact, he's been involved here with the course since 2010. First of all, tell us a bit about what is the IPRC, as the course is known.
We're taking young, well, actually I shouldn't say young, there are some older ones there too, but Torres Strait Islanders, Aboriginal people. And what we're doing is we're trying to prepare them for, first of all, their defence recruiting phase and then the military. So we're giving them that life experience, if you'd like to put it that way, the life experience to get into the military. And we're giving them the basics. So we're looking at the military culture, we're looking at fitness, we're looking at military lifestyle. And then obviously in there, we're also looking at the values that the military wants out of our young soldiers.
The young men and women who come on this course, are they all looking to join the Australian Defence Force, or are they actually looking for something else?
The majority of them, we know that they do want to get into the Defence Force, so Army, Navy, Air Force. We also have the Australian Public Service side, so we do get some representatives from the Australian Public Service. But the byproduct of this also is that those that don't get into the military, they leave the course with a really good reference and some really good skills, life skills, to go out there and find other jobs.
What then, as an instructor here, is your intent in terms of what you want them to take away by the end of the course?
So I am a fitness instructor, so obviously my love and my passion is the fitness side. In that, I also look at their own discipline factors, their self-discipline, and looking at incorporating that into the military side of it, but also incorporating that into just a lifestyle. So, yeah, I put a lot of fitness stuff into it. Obviously, when I raise their heart rates and get them under some sort of physical pressure, that's when you can see them, and that's where you can see that they have to start working as a team, and you can also see that they have to have those values that we look for. But also, the other side, I'm not Indigenous myself, but I'm married to an Indigenous lady, and I like for them to bring out their Indigenous side, their culture, their Torres Strait Islander side, and be proud and be able to incorporate that into the military side of it. So, yeah.
When they come along to the course to begin with then, what do you find that you're working with? I mean, what's the starting point for most of these young men and women?
Well, we do have a wide range, but a lot of them we find that are really shy. That's one of the biggest factors. They're really shy. A lot of them have a lot of stuff that they've grown up with through their cultures. So obviously some of the Indigenous cultures are there as well. So not talking loud, not looking people in the eyes. Also not showing basically the confidence that we see sometimes in other cultures. And so we work with these shy, quiet people, and we bring that out of them.
And how do you achieve that? Because that's not an easy thing to achieve in a 6-week period.
And again, that's where we bring in all the military skills. So a lot of my military instructional stuff that I've learnt from Kapuka and being in the army, but also some stuff that I've learnt through life. So we do things like we make sure that every time they speak loud. And that slowly starts to bring out some confidence. We also give them probably some stuff they've never heard before. So when they do something really good, we give them that praise. And we show them that it's not as hard as they think it is and make them believe themselves.
How military is the training that you give them? And how much is it about life skills?
I believe if I was to put a percentage on it, there's about 50% military. And a lot of the other stuff, even though it is military orientated, you know, we teach them a lot of the stuff that you'd see outside in Civvy Street. We look at things like fitness groups do outside, we do here. And we also look at the cultural side and the value side. And when we look at the value side, we put in both military, civilian, spiritual, everything together. And, you know, so I would actually say 50%. Some people would argue that with me, but 50%. But in saying that, the other 50%, we look at bringing out of them what they already have. A lot of these guys don't realise they've already got a lot of this stuff inside them. We just bring it out in the open.
You also teach them literacy and numeracy. How big a part does that take up in the course?
It's interesting you should say that, because I believe that the literacy and numeracy in the schooling side is some of the most difficult stuff they do. Even though they'll tell you and they forget, they tell you that, you know, taking them out for a 5 kilometre pack march or make them do 50 push-ups is hard. But sometimes when we get them in that classroom, we've got a teacher telling them to put maths and English and everything together. They all stress out. They really do. And you've got your strong ones that have obviously come out, and that's their strong part. But a lot of them hate being in that classroom, and that's another part of the education and another part of bringing them out of their shell and what they never did back in their hometowns and places.
Given, though, that they're civilians while they're here, they're not here as military personnel, they're here as civilians, how do you manage that, given that you're trying to impart military values in a military context, as in the barracks here, and yet you're dealing with people who are non-military?
That's where I actually have to give praise to our instructors. We have 1 week instructor phase, and in that phase we actually teach the instructors to have many different variants of instructional skills. So we tell them we can't just be a recruit instructor or a military instructor or a drill instructor. We teach them how to use some of their own life skills and to use some different instructional styles. So for instance, even sometimes trying to get them out of bed, we say, yep, in the military you can say, oh, we're going to charge you if you don't get out of bed. But here we give them those things like, well, if you don't get out of bed, you can't progress in the next phase of this course. And, you know, you're not going to get to that end goal. And that gets them out of bed. So, yeah, we have to use those different styles.
How do you find that they react to that? Because obviously you're talking about getting them out of bed. Yep. I imagine for some of the participants here that the rigours of the routine where 6 o'clock starts for 6 weeks straight, all that physical routine, a lot of pressure, they must get fatigued.
Yes, they do, and that's part of the course. We do limit their sleep in a way. We do get them stressed out by the sense of putting them under a lot of pressure over a long period of time. And sometimes we don't get to bed till 12 o'clock at night. And part of the bush phase, we keep them going all night. We give them about 3 hours sleep. But at the end, what we do is we show them when they get to the end of it what they've achieved and how they've achieved that. And of course, we get the whinging, but we get all the angry faces. But what we do get at the end is an achievement. Once we point that out to them, that's where we can see that they actually open up. They see another side that, okay, it wasn't so bad, and now I can do this. And I, you know, things that I thought I couldn't do when I was back at home, okay, I'm a little bit tired, but I can do it.
In the 6 years then that you've been an instructor here, what changes have you seen in the young men and women that you have trained as part of the Indigenous pre-recruitment course?
Again, I'll have to go back to just people opening up, and I'll give a classic example now of one of the ladies we have on the course, where she would not raise her voice past a whisper. She would not look anyone in the eyes, especially not a male. And anything that challenged her in the sense of having to talk to a bigger stature person, she would just shut down. Where now, when she speaks loud, clear, looks all the males in the eyes. And if they're not listening to her, she opens up and shouts. And that's a huge change. So one of the biggest changes that I see is that they basically come out of their shell. And, okay, not all of them become shouting, confident people, but they all change in some way. Another example I can give is a young gentleman who had never been giving any praise and who'd never thought he could do anything. And when he finished at Defence Recruiting, the first thing that he picked up from the recruiters there is he said, they believe I have potential that I've never used before. And that's all he keeps saying. I've got this potential and I know that I can now get better in myself. So that's those big changes where they believe in themselves and they open up and become more confident.
So it can be transformative, this course. You've seen evidence of that.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. And again, you see when they finish at recruiting or even finish this course and don't get into the military, they're walking away going, yes, I can achieve something and I have achieved something. Because this course is definitely not a course where we give out everything. They actually have to achieve things themselves. So, yeah, it's a hand up, but definitely not a handout.
And with this particular cohort, you've had nearly 100% success in terms of getting people onto either some kind of further training with defence or indeed in the pipeline to get some kind of defence job. How do you think you've achieved that?
Well, that's a hard question. Again, I think, first of all, giving them the skills. So giving them all the military skills, fantastic. But also giving them those life skills. And again, I have to give a lot of praise to the instructors on this course. We've got a lot of different instructors from a lot of different areas and all the skills that they depart or give them. But also I have to admit that being together as a team and being together with their own culture, mixed with that military culture, they all of a sudden see that everyone can get along, everyone can do it together, and everyone can achieve something. And I think that's something that everyone only acknowledges once they finish here, when they go back to their own communities. So I think what they'll see is that in the military culture side of it, that we bring everyone together to work as a team, and that's what they're getting out of it, and that's how we achieve it.
Now, the Indigenous pre-recruitment course is about to enter a new phase and, in fact, be slightly restructured. Looking back over the last 6 years and in terms of your own contribution and what you've taken away from it, how would you summarise that?
Well, I'd say it's very rewarding. I'm not the only instructor that gets very emotional, but when we leave, every time we leave this course, we feel proud of the things that we've achieved. And it's not so much for us, but the things we've achieved in the students or the participants on this course. So I suppose, how can I put it? It's quite emotional, actually, because it is the last phase of the old system going into the new system. But to see all these young men and women achieve their goals in life, whatever that may be, is one of the biggest parts that I take away from this.
Sergeant Pavel Machalek, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Sharon Muskell-Dare reporting for Service Voices from Hampstead Barracks in Adelaide.